The following podcast is brought to you by BetDSI.com. The NFL and college seasons are heating up, so what are you doing on the sidelines? Get in the game with BetDSI. They've been paying winners for 20 years now, and with a reputation for great service and fast payouts, it's easy to know why BetDSI is the place to play, win, and get paid. Anytime, anywhere. BetDSI has every wager you could ever imagine, whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, UFC, esports, global sports. I mean, if it's happening, BetDSI is putting a line on it. You can even bet on politics and celebrities. Plus, you can bet live with BetDSI's live betting option. So stop hanging out on the sidelines and get started with BetDSI. You'll get some extra bang for your buck right now, too. BetDSI is offering you podcast listeners an extra 25% bonus, but only when you use the promo code WIN125. Don't leave your money on the table. Use promo code WIN125 and get the special podcast listener 125% bonus. Just visit BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN125. Don't stand on the sidelines. To win it, you have to be in it. Visit BetDSI.com right now. That's BetDSI.com. Promo code WIN125.
Happy Thanksgiving from all of us at SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Matt Pauly.
Back with you on SB Nation Radio. If you want to join us, 800-777-2907, 800-777-2907. Watch Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson battle for a winner-take-all $9 million at Capital One, the match. See it on BR.live and pay-per-view coming up tomorrow, Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. Three games today in the NFL. To me, the most compelling game, because it was a battle for first place, was the Cowboys and the Redskins. Cowboys win 31-23. With that, let's bring in R.J. Ochoa. You can read him at Blogging the Boys. Folks in San Antonio can hear him on ESPN San Antonio, and he comes on right now. R.J., appreciate the time. Happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for taking some time on the holiday.
Anytime, guys. Happy Thanksgiving to you all.
This game today, it's a close game in terms of the final score, but the Cowboys were certainly in control there for a while. And let's start with Amari Cooper, 8 receptions, 180 yards, 2 touchdowns. I mean, that really shows the reason they went out and gave up what they gave up to be able to bring a guy like him in.
Absolutely, and you know, I don't know if it was the fact that there was a Gruden on the other sideline, maybe that was an extra bit of motivation for Amari, but I mean, it was, you know, it was Amari's second best day from a yardage perspective statistically across his career. You know, Dez Bryant only ever had one game in his Cowboys career where he topped 180 yards receiving. It was, you know, obviously the stat line's impressive, but I think, you know, if you watched the game, I know you certainly did, it was the way that yardage happened. I mean, Amari really just took over that game, and when it was kind of back and forth and a little bit of a slugfest, he really found a way to break it open and put it away for the Cowboys to a degree, and that was impressive and certainly what they went out and acquired or what they hoped to acquire when they spent that first-round pick.
Well, what stood out to me was he was targeted 9 times and he caught 8 balls. I mean, that wasn't 15 targets and 8 receptions. That was 9 targets and 8 receptions. That shows that the Redskins just had no answer for him.
Absolutely, and I think that Amari's individual sort of growth there within the Cowboys offense has been impressive, but what he's done for everybody else, I mean, Dak Prescott has become a more accurate passer overall since Amari has arrived. There's no question that what he's done has opened things up for everybody, but to your point, it certainly helps when he's having almost 100% success rate. He is, as advertised, he is the real deal.
The Cowboys seem very much up for this game, and clearly they were able to move into a playoff position. The Redskins did not seem up for this game. Now, that's tough to say just watching it on TV the way I did, but were you at all surprised with maybe the way the Redskins played this game today?
I think there's an interesting factor to the Redskins. I think that whenever you see any team in a situation like that, with an injury like Alex Smith, as gruesome as that was, I think there's a little bit of shock, especially going on the road on a short week. I think that's a tall task to overcome emotionally for a lot of guys. On a holiday where everybody's away from their families and stuff, it did seem like they were definitely not in the same level of intensity as the Cowboys. I'd probably attribute that more than anything to being on the road. But, yeah, they did come in a little bit flat. You really could see that. I agree.
right now they move into playoff position. They've got the tiebreaker, but neither team has a really, really tough schedule for the rest of the season. How do you feel that this next month plus is going to play out in terms of what the Redskins are able to do and what the Cowboys are able to do?
Well, I think the Redskins are in an interesting situation. Obviously, they still play the Titans, who beat both the Cowboys and the Eagles, so certainly somebody that I guess you have to take serious to a degree. They still have both games remaining against the Eagles, and those will be really interesting. And I think ultimately where those fall will dictate who the Cowboys' sort of prime enemy is in terms of vying for the division crown. And I actually think that will be the Eagles. You know, Philly has two home games before they travel to Dallas on December 9th, and they're against the Giants and the Redskins. So they've got three division games in a row. And I think, you know, if you had to choose right now, I think you'd probably lean Philly against the Giants and the Redskins. And that would put them at 6-6 heading into December 9th. And the Cowboys, as much as I want to believe they can beat New Orleans a week from tonight, they're probably going to drop that game. And then you've got the Cowboys and the Eagles at 6-6 coming into December 9th. That, I think, is the ultimate fork in the road for this year's NFC East.
Do you chuckle at all? I mean, 2 weeks ago, any national talking head that you would listen to was telling you why the Cowboys need to move on from Jason Garrett in the middle of the season. And now here we are, you know, 2 weeks later, this team is in playoff position. It's kind of funny how things work out.
It really is. You know, the Cowboys, I think, started a five-game gauntlet when they traveled to Philadelphia with that game in Atlanta and this one at the Saints and that Eagles game. And I don't think anybody thought they'd win, you know, one of the two road games they had in Philly and Atlanta. I don't think anybody thought they'd win either. You know, they hadn't won on the road entering that stretch. They hadn't won two games in a row. They hadn't 500 all season. And yet here they are. They've accomplished all those things with Amari Cooper.
All right, so cool. I'm going to hand him the phone, okay?
Sure.
Cool.
Hey, RJ, can I get you to just step aside for just a moment while we head to New Orleans for a moment?
Sure, no problem.
All right, thank you. I appreciate you doing that. We're going to head out to New Orleans right now and bring in Alex Anzalone, who had a big game tonight for New Orleans, ends up with six tackles, and Alex joins us right now. Alex, congratulations on the win over the Falcons. First, if I got to ask you this, do you like playing on Thanksgiving?
It's fun, you know. I mean, growing up, you know, in my hometown, we played a little bit of turkey bowl in the backyard, but it's cool to finally play in the NFL on Thanksgiving.
How much fun is that? I mean, you're a defensive guy, so you get to sit there and watch what your team's offense is doing and what Drew's out there doing. How much do you enjoy on the sideline just watching what they're able to do on an every game basis right now?
It's big time. You know, obviously it's a big help to the defense. You know, I don't know what our time of possession has been in this past couple games, but I know we've won it. And, you know, anytime we're not on the field, we're on the bench and just watching them go, and obviously – our offense is very high caliber. We have a lot of weapons, and it starts with Drew.
And that's a Falcons offense that obviously is very skilled with Matt Ryan and Julio Jones and just all those guys. What does it mean to you to be able to go out there and put together a pretty good defensive day against a good Atlanta offense?
Yeah, it's big time. And I think it's just continuing, you know, from the past games, you know, just keep executing the calls and doing what we're supposed to do and making plays. And obviously the takeaways were big time in this game. So, you know, that's what it's all about. It's all about the ball. And, you know, if we can force turnovers like we did today, then we'll be all right.
Were you guys able to catch any of that Cowboys game beforehand?
No, I wasn't able to.
That's a team that's also a playoff team right now. What's the thoughts going into Dallas for next week?
You know, we'll have to take a look at the film, but, you know, obviously you hear about and you see on TV the playmakers. Obviously it starts with Zeke in the run game. So, you know, I'm sure that would be a point of emphasis for us. So we'll get to the film and go from there.
Awesome. Well, great stuff. Congratulations on the win, and thanks for taking some time with us here on SB Nation Radio.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you. Alex Anzalone joining us from the New Orleans Saints, and we appreciate him taking some time. We also appreciate RJ Ochoa being very patient with us as we stepped away from him. Back to RJ. Are you still with us there, RJ?
Of course. That was a great interview. I enjoyed it, but I hope he's very depressed a week from now.
That's an interesting game because, I mean, you just said it's going to be tough for them to find a way to beat the Cowboys to beat the New Orleans Saints. But is from a off defensive standpoint, do you feel like the Cowboys can do much to maybe slow down New Orleans a little bit?
I think that you'd like to believe they could. I think you can certainly talk yourself into the Cowboys having the personnel, at least theoretically, to be able to do it. They've got a star pass rusher in DeMarcus Lawrence. They have the exciting linebacker tandem and Van Der Esch and Jalen Smith. They've got an elite cornerback in Byron Jones, but it's a good litmus test. If you want to be an elite defense in the NFL, you got to be able to hang with these types of offenses. And so, it'll be fun, at least in that capacity.
What's the line for Jason Garrett this year to make sure he's back next year? Do they have to be a postseason team? Do they have to win a postseason game? What is he going to be judged upon this year?
I think, if Jason Garrett managed to get, win a division title after being 3-5, that's impressive. And to be clear, what he's done right now is really impressive. Whether or not that's impressive enough to justify bringing him back, is a really, really fine line. I think no matter what, it seems like Scott Linehan is gone. And I think that, the Amari Cooper trade kind of signaled a 2019 is sort of an extension of this season and that we're kind of really figuring all this out. Are we going to pay Dak? What's up? Whatever. So if you can get the right offensive mind in there as an offensive coordinator under Garrett working with Dak and Amari and everybody, it's not the worst idea in the world to give this thing one more crack with Garrett at the helm. I do think he's got to, at the very least, win this division, or else it's kind of hard to justify.
This is probably a premature question, but your answer kind of led me to it, so I want to ask you. They moved away from Dez, obviously, this past year, and then they had very little production from the receivers, and that led them to going and getting Amari Cooper. Do you think this whole experience with letting Dez walk, needing to make a move midseason, you're basically forced to give up a first-round draft pick. Does that change the way that they go about future off-seasons?
I think it has to. There were certainly questions. I think there are a lot of people who still have questions about Dak Prescott. And if you're the Cowboys, trading away a first-round draft pick, as awesome as it is that you acquire Amari Cooper, it's also a defensive move in that it's a defensive move because you don't have the capital to go and get an heir at quarterback. You can't go get a Will Grier or whoever you want to call it that's at the top of the draft because you don't have your own first-round draft pick. So you single-handedly made Dak Prescott better and eliminated all of the questions that you could possibly face in one offseason about replacing him. So I think it definitely is sort of an extension into the 2019 season, which is why if you really kind of are sort of putting all the chips in next season's basket, it really does kind of make sense on one hand to keep the head coach intact. Now, maybe, again, you do want to get a different offensive coordinator in there. But if you've got Garrett, you've got Dak, and now you've got Amari balling out like he was, you stand a chance.
All right, last question for you, and this clearly is the most important thing I'm going to ask you. One celebration today, you have money being thrown into the Salvation Army thing. Another celebration, you had the football being used as a microphone. And then another celebration, you've got a guy being dropped into the Salvation Army thing, yet only the last one gets flagged for a penalty. Why in the world is that a penalty when the other two are not?
Because the NFL doesn't make sense with things like that. I think it was Monday Night Football when Tyreek Hill threw up the peace sign or the deuces or whatever he calls it when he runs in the end zone. That was a penalty with the all-star crew they had. That's, I believe, normally not a penalty on normal Sundays. I wish there was some normalcy to the way those things are called, but the reality is that there isn't. But for what it's worth, the money one was by far the best.
But they're all fun. Like, isn't nobody watches that? You have to really hate life to see any of those celebrations and go, oh my gosh, this makes the NFL worse.
Oh, absolutely. And Zeke donated money. Even in a literal sense, it was profitable for the NFL.
It was. Hey, RJ, really, really appreciate you taking some time. Encourage people to follow you on Twitter at RJ Ochoa. That's RJ Ochoa. And check out everything that you and your guys do over at Blogging the Boys. Thank you for your time and look forward to talking to you again. And happy Thanksgiving to you as well.
Thanks a lot, guys. Same here, and a very happy Thanksgiving.
Awesome. RJ Ochoa joining us here on SB Nation Radio after the Dallas Cowboys come away with a win. We've been talking to folks all over the place, taking the triple header of NFL games. We've gotten just about every single team covered. We'll talk some more about the Saints, who came away with a win. We'll have somebody coming on next hour in a little bit less than an hour. Want to go to the Lions game, though, up next, because a special Thanksgiving Day culinary item was Thanksgiving pizza. Would you eat it? I'll tell you what it is, what it looked like, and we'll go over that coming up next. Matt Pauly in on SB Nation Radio on a Thanksgiving night.